everyone. Let's begin. So we are picking up a Merit session tonight in Parshas Kedoshim. So when it comes to Parshas Kedoshim, which I think is probably one of the parshios that has the greatest number of mitzvos, it's almost a little bit difficult for us to think about where to begin. Such a voluminous number of mitzvos, and again, the unique part about Parshas Kedoshim is also the idea that we have everything. We have Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, mitzvos between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzvos between ourselves and our fellow man. But I want to draw your attention to, I think, what is probably one of the most well-known mitzvos, but perhaps may also be one of the most difficult and enigmatic mitzvos. Take a look at number one. So the pasuk says, Lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. You shall go ahead, or you shall refrain from taking revenge or bearing a grudge against the members of your people. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ani Hashem. I am the Lord. So two parts to this pasuk. Lo sikom v'lo sitor, do not take revenge. Again, we're not going to get into some of the technicalities over here between nekama and netira. Nekama means revenge. So for example, Rashi HaKadosh explains, what does revenge mean? I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, can I borrow your axe? And Reuven says, no. The next day, Reuven comes over to borrow my shovel. And I say, Reuven, you didn't let me borrow your axe. I'm not going to let you borrow my shovel. That's revenge. That's revenge. That's nekama. What's netira? So netira is, I go to Reuven and I say, Reuven, can I borrow your axe? And Reuven says, no. Next day, Reuven shows up, asks me, can I borrow your shovel? And I say, of course you can, because I'm not like you. That's called netira. That's called harboring animosity. So I'm allowing Reuven to go ahead and borrow the item, but clearly, again, I harbor ill will against Reuven. So Torah tells me, lo siko v'lo sitor, you cannot take revenge, you cannot nurture a grudge or harbor animosity, v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. You shall love your fellow as you love yourself. The Sifra, number two, quotes the famous statement of Rabbi Akiva, v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, you shall love your fellow as you love yourself. Rabbi Akiva writes, ze klal godol batorah. This is an important klal. This is an important principle in the Torah. So what I'd like to try to explore tonight is really a fundamental, and I'm not sure why this has been bothering me so much recently. This year, thank you for allowing me to give this year, because it has allowed me to really think about this a little bit more. You know, we try to love everyone. We try to love every Jew. But the notion that there's an obligation to love every Jew like you love yourself almost seems like an impossible thing to do. Meaning, there is nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks me to do that I feel is beyond my reach, beyond my ability. Right? Again, Shabbos, as challenging as that may be, I can do it. Kashrus, as challenging as it may be, I can do it. Even refraining from speaking Lashon Hara, right, which seems to be, again, an overwhelming task, I can do that. But to love people like you love yourself, what's the pshat? And I'll tell you, what's the biggest problem with this mitzvah? What's the biggest problem? We're amongst friends. You can speak openly and honestly. What's the biggest problem? So first of all, not everybody loves themselves. That's number one. Excellent. Excellent. And let's be honest. Not everybody is lovable. Not everybody is lovable. Some people I can't stand. Some people I don't want to be around. Some people just do things which are just really not right. Really despicable, really inappropriate. But if you notice again, the Torah does not go ahead and draw distinctions. Torah doesn't say, love your friends. Torah doesn't say, love your family. That would come with other complications, right? The Torah says, v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. So it's true. You can understand in Chazal, maybe re'acha, your fellow, maybe it doesn't apply to everyone, maybe it applies to certain people. Without getting into the weeds on that, God's giving me an incredible obligation. Love every Jew like you love yourself. But what about the people who hurt me? What about the people who do negative things to me? What about the people who are just not good people, not lovable people? What about them? But yet again, the Torah doesn't seem to distinguish. The Torah seems to be telling me to love everyone. Now, this is very important. Because the truth is, so what does this mean? Does this mean that I turned a blind eye? That I turn a blind eye when somebody hurts me or somebody does something negative to me? Is that what the Torah is telling me? When someone hurts you, say, ah, don't worry about it. It's okay. I forgive you. Do you remember, this is already probably going back a number of years ago, when there was the terrible shooting, the massacre in the Amish schoolhouse? Mm-hmm. There, it must have been now, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what was astounding to me is even before they discovered like all the details, the Amish community like released the statement, "We forgive the shooter. We forgive the shooter." And it was very interesting in many theological circles. There was a lot of written about this. Like, what does that mean? Is that the expectation of forgiveness? Again, the shooter didn't apologize. The shooter didn't express remorse. The shooter, we forgive the shooter. Who says the shooter requires forgiveness? Right? Who says, even if he asks for it, who says I'm obligated to give that? And Judaism, by the way, does, for example, the halacha is, if somebody wrongs you, when are you obligated to issue or to offer forgiveness? Right? When they ask. And by the way, again, I could say no the first time. I could say no the second time. The Gemara says, okay, somebody comes to you three times already. You can't be a cruel and indifferent person. But you see this concept that if I'm wronged by someone, I don't just have to roll over on that. Right? I don't just have to. So yet the Torah is telling me that I have to love every single Jew. So on the most basic level, what's the mitzvah? Every mitzvah has a purpose. So what is God trying to accomplish through this? And number two, which is kind of the follow-up question, is what exactly is Rabbi Akiva adding? When Rabbi Akiva says, Zekla Godol Batorah, this is an important principle in the Torah. Every mitzvah is an important principle. And something else Rabbi Akiva is going to say, don't worry about this one. It's not so important. Right? This is a minor one. Don't worry, God will give you. Every mitzvah is an important mitzvah. So Rabbi Akiva could be saying, Zekla Godol Batorah, maybe the Haftecha Kamocha is like the umbrella for every mitzvah being adam l'chaveiro. Maybe it is the umbrella, the catch-all for all of our interpersonal obligations. But then say that. What is Rabbi Akiva adding when he says, Zekla Godol Batorah? So I want to develop two ideas which will kind of coalesce into one. And we begin with an incredible Gemara. If you look at number three, the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra writes as follows. Sha'ala Turnus Rufus as Rabbi Akiva. So the Roman Emperor Turnus Rufus had an interesting ongoing dialogue with Rabbi Akiva. And he asked Rabbi Akiva the following question. If your God loves the poor, why doesn't God take care of them? It's a good question, by the way. It's a profound theological question. If your God loves you, then why does he not take care of poor people? Amar Leh, to which Rabbi Akiva responds an incredible answer. Kedei shenitzol anu b'hen medina shel gehenim. Rabbi Akiva says, because it is through the poor that we are saved from Gehenna. What does that mean? The poor become the vehicle for the elevation of the rich. Right? When there is a poor person, that he gives me an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. And through the performance of that mitzvah, I achieve salvation. So the poor person is given compromised circumstances so that he could serve to elevate those around him. Amar Leh, Adrabo, Zun Shemechai Vassal Gehenim. So ultimately, Turnus Rufus says, I don't understand, it makes no sense. If anything, helping out the poor person is a big avira. Why? Listen to this mashal that Turnus Rufus gives. Em shelachal mashal. Let me give you a parable. L'melech basar v'adam sheka'as al avado. This can be compared to a king of flesh and blood, who got angry at his servant, v'chav sho b'veis ha'asurin. And what happened? The king incarcerated the servant in jail. Sent him to jail. So what happened? And the king commands, no one is allowed to feed or to give to drink to the prisoner. Right? This is my prisoner. Don't feed him. Don't give to drink. And what happens? And someone comes along and feeds and gives to drink the prisoner. Ultimately, again, says Turnus Rufus, when the king hears about this, won't the king get early? Right? Won't the king get angry? Right? Won't the king get angry? The king commanded ultimately again that this individual be imprisoned. Right? Not be fed, not be given to drink. Someone comes along and gives the prisoner food and drink. The king is going to be angry at the person who defied his edict. So what is Turnus Rufus saying? Turnus Rufus is saying, you're servants to God. God commanded on the pauper that's what? That he shouldn't have. And now you're going and giving him, are you not defying the very edict of your God? To which Rabbi Akiva says, I have a counter, Mashal. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Em shalacha Mashal l'mah davar domer. Rabbi Akiva says, let me give you a counter, Mashal. L'melech basav adam shekaas al bino v'chashav es asurin. It's more comparable to a king who gets angry at his son. And as a result of getting angry at his son, he goes ahead and what? Incarcerates his son. V'tziva lov. Shelo lahachilo v'shel lashkoso. And the king commands, no one is allowed to feed my son or to give my son to drink. V'halach adam echad v'echilu v'eshkeu. And someone comes along and goes ahead and gives the son some food and something to drink. Kisheshama hamelech lodor meshagelo. When the king hears about this, isn't he happy that someone defied him? You see, sometimes the king has to incarcerate his own child. And the king has he can't engage in nepotism. So if the rule is you can't feed and you can't give drink to the prisoners and the inmates, that has to apply to the king's son also. But how happy the king is when someone sneaks into the prison and gives his son something to eat, something to drink. How happy the king is that someone has quote-unquote defied the edict. Says Rabbi Akiva, Va'anan keruyin banim. We are called sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. D'chsiv, banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. We are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu imprisons some of his children in the shackles of poverty, it is up to the rest of us to sneak something into the prison. It is up to the rest of us, ultimately, again, to help out that child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their time of distress. And not only is it not a defiance of the divine edict, but what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy that his children are helping each other out. Writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe something so beautiful. Take a look at number 4. In Likutei Sichos, the Rebbe writes, Kasher nisbonim bidvarav elu shel Rabbi Akiva. When we think about these words of Rabbi Akiva, remember again, the most profound idea that Rabbi Akiva really espoused over here is this concept that we are all children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. We are all children to Hashem. Now watch this. Kulanu achim. We're all brothers. Kasher ra'ayon zeh yemunach atzleinu kiv'asher nochush be'uvda sheyehudi hasheni hu ha'ach shali azay b'derech memele nis'ore b'regesh shel ava klapov. Nismali beregesh az shal avasach. Let me just read one more line. Kasher nilich bedarko begishasos Rabbi Akiva. Kasher nisbonim bazer shekol Yehudi ach sheli gam im hu mashizim. Listen to this. So it says there was something amazing. What did Rabbi Akiva teach Ternus Rufus? Rabbi Akiva said to Ternus Rufus, we are all children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe makes a simple yet profound observation. If we are all children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, what are we to each other? Brothers and sisters. And if we're brothers and sisters, then ultimately, again, we have a responsibility to one another. If we truly believe that we are all banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, if we're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that makes us all brothers and sisters. Now, 1 second, there's one more piece. Take a look at number 5. This is another piece by the Rebbe, and we're going to tie these two pieces together. So the Rebbe says, Ketzad efshar lahagia la'ava atzmusis kazos l'chol Yehudi. How can you ever possibly love another Jew, another person? I even said, I can love my spouse, I can love my wife like I love myself, I can love my children like I love myself. But remember again, this mitzvah applies to everyone. How do we reach that level of love? So this is amazing. Reishis. Avas Yisrael hi poel yotze me avas Hashem. The Rebbe writes that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a self-standing, freestanding love. It is a love that is a derivative of our love of God. Avas Yisrael stems from avas Hashem. Me'acher sheYehudi oives HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once a Jew loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'avazu netua be'etzem ahuso, shechein banim atem la'Hashem elokeichem, if you love God, you love Jews. Why? Do you know? So what is lesson number one? Shalom Bayis 101. Lesson, right? The most important ingredient to making a successful relationship is love what your spouse loves, even if you don't really love it. Right? Why? Because to love someone means you love them in their totality, which by definition means I love what you love as I might not like it, right? I might not want it, but I love it. I love it. So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. If you really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to love what God loves. And what does God love? God loves Jews. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. So if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I have to love Jews. And if I don't love Jews, then by definition, I don't truly love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you take these two pieces together, it turns out something amazing. In the first piece, and they're really all pointing in the same direction. In the first piece, the Rebbe says, if I believe that I'm a child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm Bani Matam LaShem Elokeichem, then by definition that makes us all brothers and sisters. And if we're brothers and sisters, there has to be a love that we distribute or that we display to one another. But then the Rebbe goes on, he takes it even a step further. It's also, if I truly love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm truly the Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, that when you love someone, you love what they love also. And if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God loves Jews, then I love Jews as well. So it turns out something absolutely amazing, that this mitzvah represents this incredible beauty, beautiful and holy love triangle between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me, and Klal Yisrael. If I love God, I love Jews. If I love Jews, I love God. And if I don't love either one of the two, then I can't love the other as well. All of this love is intertwined one with the other. If we're children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're siblings to one another. If we're siblings to one another, that warrants a love and a respect. If at the end of the day, I'm in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, if I love God, then I love what God loves as well. Which is incredibly important, because what does this tell us? What this tells us, says the Rebbe, is that there is no such thing as having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you don't have Avas Yisrael. If you do not have love for your fellow Jew, and let's talk about this, because this is exceptionally important. Because love of your fellow Jew does not just mean love of the fellow Jews who you like, or love of the fellow Jews whom you identify with, or love of your fellow Jews who look like you, dress like you, practice like you, live like you. V'yahavt l're'acha kamocha is a mitzvah on ganz klal Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to love everyone. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is telling us is, if you love me, God says, if you really love me, then you have to love my children, all of my children. And if you don't love my children, then don't tell me that you love me. This incredible and profound interconnectedness between the relationship we have with one another and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, very often we like to bifurcate, right? We like to create divisions. We have silos, right? In one silo is my ben Adam l'makom, and in one silo is my ben Adam l'chavero. My relationship with God, that part of my religion, my relationship with my fellow man, that part of my religion. And we like to kind of keep them separate, because a lot of times in life, there are a lot, and any given day, there's a certain number of people I don't like, for a variety of different reasons, good reasons, not so good reasons, but that's okay, I'll keep them on the side over here, but my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rock solid. Says the Rebbe, that is incorrect. We are all intertwined in this beautiful holy love triangle, which is, again, if we're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all siblings. If I love God, I have to love His children. If I don't love His children, then that means that my love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somehow deficient. This is what Rabbi Akiva means when he says, Ze klal gadol batorah. What is Rabbi Akiva coming to teach us? You see, everyone knows, you don't have to come. You figure this, I don't have to come to Yeshiva to hear about the Atzer Chagamocha. I know about Avas Yisrael. On any given week, there's probably like 7,500 Shirma on Avas Yisrael in any given community. Baruch Hashem, we all know the importance. So does Rabbi Akiva adding. Rabbi Akiva is adding, everyone thinks that V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha is a din, is a function in Bein Adam l'chaveiro, in our interpersonal relationships. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Zekla Godel Batora. The Ahabta L'Re'acha Kamocha is a fundamental underpinning, a foundation stone, not just for our Bein Adam L'Makom, excuse me, L'Chavero, but ultimately again for our Bein Adam L'Makom as well. There is no relationship with God if ultimately again my interpersonal relationships are not in order. And we know this. We know this. How do we know this? Because any time in life you have strife or discord in an interpersonal relationship, we all know deep down, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a hit as well. You feel it. You feel it inside. When you're angry with someone, when you're at a falling out with someone, when there's animosity, when there's strife, when there's discord, I'm not feeling it with God in the same way. Why? Zekla Godol Batora. Because if I don't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, then by definition there's an element of my love of God that is deficient as well. And if I truly love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I have to love everything that He loves. That's the first approach. If you take a look at number 6, I'll share with you a second approach. And all correct. So to appreciate this approach, what I want to draw your attention to is something, and again, you know, part of the beauty of the Torah is how you could look at the same pasuk for many, many, many years, and just one day or one year, something clicks. So take a look back at number 1 for just a moment. I'm sorry, maybe you go to 6. Go back to number 1 for just a moment. So what does the pasuk say? Lo sika velo sitra, right? Don't take revenge, right? Don't harbor animosity or ill will, a grudge, right, against your fellow members of your nation. V'haftorecha kamocha, love your fellow like yourself. What's the problem with the pasuk? What's the problem with the verse? If I was asking you to go ahead and we need to cut out a couple of words from the Torah to make it fit, right? What would you cut out in that pasuk? What's not necessary? So Ani Hashem might not be necessary. Good, good. Simpler. You're thinking too much. If you're telling me via Haftel Reyacha Kamocha, then by definition, what does that include?
No revenge.
No revenge and no animosity. But I think about this in just a moment. V'yahavtel re'acha kamocha means I have to love you. If I have to love you, then obviously I can't take revenge. If I have to love you, then I can't harbor animosity. Yet the Torah goes to just lop off the first part of the verse. Take it away. Take it away. Take away lo sikav lo sitar. Just tell me v'yahavtel re'acha kamocha. And by definition, I will know that ultimately I can't harbor a grudge, I can't have animosity, or anything else. So Sefer HaChinuch says no. I need that first phrase, and here's why I need the first phrase, and this is incredible. Look what he writes. Mishrashe mitzvah. At the root of this mitzvah, sheyedeh ha'adam, get ready for this. V'yitein alibo, ki kol asher yikareu mitov yadra, hu siba shetavo alav me'es Hashem baruch hu. A person has to know in life. We spoke a little bit about this in the morning shir also. A person has to know in life that anything that happens, good and not so good, is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens to us in life is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umiyad ha'adam, miyad ish achiv, lo yiyed davar bilti ratzon Hashem Baruch Hu. But you said to yourself, one second, Chaim, your uncle hurt my feelings today. He said something terrible to me. He damaged my property today, right? So who did that? Who did that? So of course, what's the answer? Chaim, your uncle did it, right? Remember, he's responsible, but the events in life were orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing occurs without Hashem. Chaim Yankel is going to have responsibility, right? If he slashed my tires, he can't claim, I am but a messenger of the Lord, right? I have no responsibility. Obviously, we don't subscribe to that because then there's no personal responsibility. So Chaim Yankel has responsibility for the damages he did. But it says the Sefer HaChinuch, what's my hashkafas HaChaim? What's my outlook on life? My outlook on life is that God has chosen to visit these circumstances upon me. Chaim Yankel is the Shliach Hashem. He's the agent. He has responsibility for his bad decisions. He has responsibility, ultimately, again, for his negative decisions. He has responsibility for hurting me or for harming me. But how do I view the circumstances? This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the circumstances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has visited upon me. Al Kain, Kishi Etzareyo O Yachiveyo Adam. When someone hurts you or someone upsets you, ki avonos of garmu, v'Hashem yisparach gazer alav bekach, v'lo yoshis mimachshavos of linkom imenu, ki hu eino sibas ra'aso. So Sefer HaChinuch delves a little bit here into sin, which we're not going to get into. I want to kind of take a little bit of an aerial view on this. The Sefer HaChinuch says like this: why do people take revenge? Right? Well, let's you're in a bunch of Nashim Sid Kaniel, so you probably know nothing about this. Right? But sometimes people take, why do people take revenge? What motivates revenge? Hurt. Someone did something to me. Reuven hurt me. I'm going to hurt him back. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, revenge only comes up when? If you feel that Reuven was the one who hurt you. If you feel that Reuven is the cause of your pain. If you feel that the difficulties that you're dealing with now because of Reuven, look what you did. So because you did this to me, I'm going to visit some like-kind punishment upon you. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. But what's the hashkafa of the Jew in life? The hashkafa of the Jew is, Reuven, you did really something not good, and you and God have to work that out. You really hurt me, you did something not good, but I'm not going to spend my life holding you accountable because there's a message in these circumstances for me here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has visited these circumstances upon me because he wants me to learn something. He wants me to grow in some way. There is some type of life lesson that I'm supposed to take from these circumstances. Isn't this incredible? We often think that you don't take revenge because you should be a nice person. So to say for Achinuch, of course you should be a nice person. But there's something so much more psychologically and theologically profound. When you take revenge upon someone, when you harbor animosity, what you are doing is you're attributing the event in totality to that individual. And you are removing God from the equation. And the moment you remove God from the equation, takes away your ability to learn from and to grow from your life circumstances. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo sikon v'lo sitor. No, don't take revenge. Don't harbor animosity. Because it's not, quote-unquote, Reuven's fault. Reuven's responsible, let's be clear. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the one who choreographs your life. I am the one who choreographs your circumstances. And if this happened to you, as much as it was Reuven who was the shaliach to visit these circumstances upon you, they came from me. And if they came from me, you need to devote your energies to understanding why it happened, how it happened, and ultimately how to grow from it. I'll show you something to continue on this a little bit. Take a look at number 8. And we'll tie back to the buzzing in just a moment. This is from the Sefer Gan HaEmunah, which is an absolute must-read. Shalom Arush, Gan HaEmunah. Also, you can get in English, Garden of Emunah, but the English does not do justice to the Hebrew. The Hebrew is actually quite beautiful. It's like more modern Hebrew. Flows like a... like mamish, like a spiritual river. So look what he writes over here. It says, you can imagine in Gan HaEmunah, you could take a wild guess as to what the topic of the Sefer is.
Right.
Exactly, Emunah. So again, obviously he spends an entire Sefer. I'm just giving you one snippet. But he says something very similar to the Sefer HaChinuch. Hadarga HaRishona, the first level of Emunah that a person could acquire. Hi HaEmunah Shashem Yisbaruch Hu HaYachid, Hu HaSholet HaYachid Ba'olamo, is to believe that God is the only ruler in this world. V'chol Ma Shekora Ba'olam, everything that happens in this world, Hakol mi'ito yisbarach bashkacham le'meduyakes. Everything that occurs, ultimately, again, occurs because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look to the second paragraph, ani mamin be'emunah shleima, it goes down. First, we'll do the right column and the left column. So if you go to the second paragraph, I apologize that it's not numbered, but you can see the principle of a different size. Ani mamin be'emunah shleima, shabori yisbarach shema, bori yumani v'chol abruim, v'hu levado osa v'yasa v'chol masim. What do we say? What does the Rambam say in his 13 principles? I believe that God is the creator, and he is the choreographer, and only what he wants occurs. Everything that occurs in this world is the Ratzon Hashem. B'milim achiros, kol ma shenaaseh ba'olam, me'adavar ha'pot bi'oser, v'ad ledavar ha'godol bi'oser, ha'kol Hashem oseh. Everything that happens in this world, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, only happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. I want to be clear, I can't say this enough. Please do not interpret this to mean that therefore man is not responsible for his actions. Of course you are responsible. Because at the end of the day, I exercise my free choice to act in certain ways. But everything that we do is part of a divinely, carefully scripted and choreographed plan. Look at the next paragraph. Lachin, tzarech shetamin, shekoma sheover alecha. Therefore, you have to believe that anything you experience in this world, bein beruchnius, bein begashmius, bein shezeh ba l'cha mimikri ateva, bein shezeh me'adam, whatever happens to you in this world, spiritually, materially, things that happen, quote-unquote, naturally, things visited upon me by other people, she says, v'chein sheba l'cha me'atzmecha, or things you do to yourself, he says, hakol birtzon Hashem yisparach. And look at that last phrase. Ubamila Machiros, this is so important. Kacha Hashem Rotza. That's the mantra for life. Kacha Hashem Rotza. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We see, none of us have a problem saying that when everything goes right. Of course, it's the divine plan. Right? The great challenge, of course, is when things don't go right, quote unquote. When they don't go the way I wanted them to go. Either because something, quote unquote, natural occurred, someone did something, or I messed things up myself. Says the Gan Emuna, three words. Kacha Hashem Rotzeh. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. If it happened, it means that at the end of the day, it is the divine plan. B'chol pam shekori la'adam davrish lo lefi ratzono. Anytime in life something happens and you're not happy with the way it occurred, tzarech hu lahaktim es ha'amuna la'seichel, kacha Hashem Rotzeh. Sometimes you have to place your amuna in front of your intellect, and just keep on repeating the words, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He goes on, Zekla Godel. If you skip down a little bit, he says, the way it often works is that when something goes wrong in life, a person begins to intellectualize that. Let's analyze, why did this occur? If you look at the last paragraph on the right-hand side, Ulahavin, a couple lines in, Ulahavin Mashamevin, Ulagila Maskanos Keilo Acheros, Hamavis Oso Litlos Esaro, Besivos Tavios. What's the nature of that? Something occurs and I'm not happy with it. So I begin to figure out whose fault is it, right? Meaning, what happened that caused this? Oh, LaHashem es ploni es amoni. So maybe it's so-and-so's fault. Es ishto. It's my wife's fault. Here's a famous one. Chamoso. It's my mother-in-law's fault, right? Meaning, it's someone's fault. Chidome. Oh, lirdof es atzmo. Or to blame yourself. Right, to blame yourself. He says, Velipo, now what happens when you begin the blame game? It becomes all-consuming. Right, I need to figure out whose fault this is. Who did this? And by the way, then what happens? Fantastic. You figure out who's at fault. You assign blame. And then what happens? What's the next step after that? You're so consumed with animosity, either towards that person or towards yourself. I can't believe I messed up. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe this person acted this way or did this thing towards me. So after I figure out who to blame, I'm then consumed with anger, animosity, and grudges towards that person. Sometimes you have to stop trying to figure things out with your seichel, with your intellect. You start using your heart, your emuna. Shekacha Hashem Rotza. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Hakol ba'ashgacho yisbarach. Everything is divine providence. V'chol agarmim litzaro, and the things that quote unquote cause me pain, heim rak makel biyad habori yisbarach. Reuven, who hurt me, he's the staff of God. The natural circumstances are the staff of God. They're responsible for their actions, but at the end of the day, my circumstances come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, left hand side. Only ultimately again. So, okay, he gives a couple of more examples about this. He gives an intro. Well, we'll leave it like this. You'll read this on your own. It's actually quite a beautiful piece. But this, I just want to tell you, when you begin to look at life like this, it's transformative. First of all, you're much happier. Much happier. Because whether we recognize it or not, when things go wrong, which inevitably they do for all of us, we spend so much time trying to assign responsibility for that. Whether it's me, and many of us spend our lives beating ourselves up over things that we did, that we didn't do, that we should have done, that we could have done, that we did do, but should have done better, didn't do enough of, did too much of, and we end up spending life in a state of self-blame. Or when others hurt us, which inevitably happens as well, we become consumed by animosity, by rage, by anger. And says the Gan Emuna, Kacha Hashem Rotzeh. Emuna means a recognition that God runs the world, not Reuven. Right? God runs the world, not my mother-in-law. Right? God runs the world, not the natural circumstances. And if this is what happened, then at the end of the day, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And if it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that means that these are the circumstances that I need. And these are the circumstances in which there is a divinely embedded message. This is another piece that's not for tonight, that all of our circumstances convey a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that message sometimes is the hardest part of life, trying to figure out what God is telling me. You know, sometimes we think, in the midst of failure, we assume that means God is punishing me. That's not true. Sometimes in the midst even of abysmal failure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a message of hope and optimism. Sometimes failure is God's way of telling me, You're barking up the wrong tree, right? This is not the right way for you. You have to choose something else. Or sometimes the message of failure is you could be so great, you just need to try harder, right? At the end of the day, life is filled with these messages. But the only way to intuit the message is to first live a life of Kacha Hashem Rotza. So tying this back up, says the Sefer HaChinuch, this is the nature of the mitzvah of lo sikom v'lo sitor. Do not take revenge. Do not harbor animosity or a grudge. Why? This is not about being a nice person. This is about emunah. Because kacha Hashem rotza. And the only way to grow from your circumstances in life is to stop blaming and start learning. Stop blaming yourself and everyone around you and try to figure out if these are the circumstances that God gave me, what am I to learn from them? How am I to learn from them? Now watch this. To tie this all together, we take a look at number 7. So in the Be'er HaParsha, the Mechaber writes over here, Shamati Mimagim Yisham Nifla Shita. Get ready for this. B'loshon HaKosov Sheba Parshas and V'yahavta L'Re'acha. So the Pasuk says, V'yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Madua Nakot Loshon Re'a. Why does the Pasuk use Loshon of Re'a? Now, Re'a literally means what? A friend or a fellow. Right? Like, right, we say in Shabbat Brachos, Re'im Ahuvim. Right? So friends, companions. So why do we use Re'acha? Why Re'acha? Havelo Eza Loshon Tov Kivahavta L'Yididecha. O L'Chaverecha. Right? A Yidid, a Chaver. These are words of friendship. What does Re'acha mean? So listen to what he says. When your friend is nice to you, there's ultimately no great chiddush in loving him. Masai v'yahav, to get ready for this. Kishehu re'acha, hu ha'ish hara l'cha. So says the Baruch Haim something absolutely amazing. V'yahav t'le re'acha kamocha means love the one who is bad to you. Love the one who is ra lecha. What does that mean? Really, I know we're Jews, but we're glutton for punishment. But mamish to this level, right? I have to love people who are bad to me. No. What does it mean? If somebody mistreats you, I have to run and give them a hug. What it means is like this: v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha means that at the end of the day, even those who hurt me, I don't harbor animosity towards you. I love you. You know why? Because whatever happened, it wasn't you. I mean, it was you. And you're responsible for hurting me. And you're responsible for damaging me. And you're responsible for your behaviors. But from my hashkafa sachar, my life outlook, kacha Hashem rotze. You are the shaliach. You are the agent of God to bring upon me certain circumstances. And the truth is, if it wasn't you, it would have been someone else. Because kacha Hashem rotze, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And so if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, then by definition, there's no room in my heart for animosity. There's no room in my heart for grudges. There's only room in my heart for love. I love you. I'm not happy with what you did to me. I'm not suggesting I'm going to be your friend. Remember, again, you could love someone. Every parent has that moment where they tell their children what? Oh, okay, good. I love you, but I don't like you. Right? I love you, but I don't like you. And that's okay. That's not a stira. That's not a contradiction. You could love someone. I don't like the way you're behaving. I don't like it. The love is there. Of course, the love won't ever go away. But I'm truly unhappy with the way you're behaving. And I love you to pieces. I'd rather not talk to you. I'd rather not interact with you. I don't want to be in the same room with you. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha doesn't mean we're standing in a circle singing Kumbaya and everybody's best friends. That's not the way the world works. That's not the way Am Yisrael works. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha is an emotional state of being. It's a state of being where I don't hate anyone. I love everyone. I don't want to be friends with everyone, right? I don't necessarily want to go ahead and speak to everyone. I don't want to spend time with everyone. But remember again, if I'm not harboring animosity and there's no grudge, then that heart is filled with love. If you remove the negativity, then by definition there's love. And why is there love? Because I have no reason to feel anything else towards you. Because even if you're re'acha, even if you are someone who did ra lecha, did something bad to me, kacha Hashem rotza. I view you as the agent of God to bring certain circumstances upon me. You did something bad, you're going to have to do tshuva, that you're going to have to apologize, you're going to have to do tshuva to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, I harbor no animosity towards you. Because at the end of the day, kacha Hashem rotza. And now you begin to understand the pasuk in its entirety. Lo sikom v'lo sitor. So remember, how does the pasuk read? Don't harbor animosity, don't build a grudge. It's a progression. Why? Because if you avoid animosity and grudges, what will happen? If you avoid animosity and grudges, then what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? You're a kacha Hashem rotze kind of person. That's the kind of hashkafa sachaim you have. This is what Hashem wants, and I accept the divine plan. I have to figure out what I could learn. If you are a kacha Hashem person, do you know what the end of your pasuk is? V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. You could love everyone, even if you don't like everyone. You could love everyone because there's no room for animosity. There's no room for grudges because at the end of the day, kacha Hashem rotze. And now to loop it back, we again understand why Rabbi Akiva says, Ze klal gadol batorah. Now we understand why. Because Rabbi Akiva is saying from this phrase of Yahavta l're'acha kamocha, this teaches us perhaps one of the most important life lessons. Not just a life lesson about Adam l'chaveiro, in interpersonal conduct, and not just a life lesson about Adam l'makom, in our relationship with God. Ze klal gadol batorah. This is perhaps one of the most important principles in the entire Torah. The principle of Emunah. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. Everyone thinks that the message is about Avas Yisrael. It's not. I mean, it is. But it's not. The message is about Emunah b'Hashem. It's just that the Avas Yisrael is the byproduct of a person who has true Emunah. How do you know if you have real Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you love every Jew? How do you know that you have true Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That you have no animosity, that you have no grudges, that you have no negative feelings towards any individual. If you could say that about yourself, then you are a Kacha Hashem Rotza Jew. Then you are a true Baal or Baalas Emunah. That's the Zeh Klal Gadol Batorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just simply telling us to love one another. That's beautiful and that's good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us something so much more profound. How do we view our lives? How do we view our circumstances? Are we the people who, when something goes wrong, spend so much time and energy looking for someone to blame? And once I assign blame to that person or to myself, spend a good amount of energy and time beating that person or beating myself up over what has occurred? Or do I simply say, you know what, whatever happens in my life, Kacha Hashem Rotze, and if this is the circumstance that Hashem Baruch Hu is visiting upon me, these are the circumstances I need to have. I'm not going to use my life energy blaming and assigning blame. I'm going to use my life energy ultimately going ahead and learning. Lo sikom velo sitor. Do not bear animosity, do not bear a grudge, because you're eating up valuable emotional energy that should be used ultimately to learn from your circumstances. It's not Reuven, and it's not Chaim Yankel, and it's not your father, and it's not your mother-in-law. At the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you accept that premise, Kacha Hashem Rotze, V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, you will feel an abounding and overwhelming sense of love for your fellow Jew, and of course an incredible sense of, an overwhelming sense of love for the Ribono Shel Olam. So from this little pasuk that begins as something we know, it's on the tip of our tongue all the time, V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, we learn two incredible lessons. Lesson number one about the beautiful and dramatic love triangle between me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael. You can only love God if you love Jews. And you can only really love Jews if you love God. Because we're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which makes us all siblings. If I love God, I have to love ultimately what He wants. That's lesson number one. And we are all part of that beautiful love triangle. But in addition, ultimately we see that the Pasuk teaches us about what it means to live with Emunah. What does it mean to live with Emunah? It means that whatever happens in your life, Kacha Hashem Rotze. If it's good, I'll say Kach Hashem Rotze with a smile. If it's not so good, I might say Kach Hashem Rotze with a frown, but I still accept it. These are the circumstances of my life. I'm not going to blame, no animosity. I'm just going to love, and I'm going to use my koach to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited these circumstances, to learn from these circumstances, and ultimately to grow from these circumstances. I'll stop over here. Thank you. Thank you.